about the CIA job, and as a matter of fact, he came down to see me today. I talked to him at considerable length. He said he had been asked to do this once before, presumably in the Eisenhower administration. He decided then that he was not the right man for the job, and he's considered it again and believes so now as well.
He does. See that lawyer?
Yes, he's a lawyer. Very bright, able person. I think you'd like him, and he would have been excellent, but he says absolutely not. Mac talked to Stratton, the president of MIT, about it at my request. You asked me to find out whether Stratton was available. Stratton said no, for two reasons. First, he's in his last year as president at MIT. It would be very tough for him to quit under these conditions. Secondly, he doesn't think he's the right man for the cloak and dagger aspect of it, and he wouldn't wish, therefore, to accept it even if it weren't his last year. Mills, whom we were thinking of, I'd recommended for GSA. I talked to three times the last 2 days and twisted his arm as much as I could, and he said no. And he said no because he's been in his present job, which is director of purchasing for Ford Motor Company, for only 5 months, and he doesn't think he can walk out at this point. Kerr of California has a real problem on his hands. You probably read of it in the New York Times this morning. But there's real possibility for hope there. He has talked to the regents of the University of California about leaving, and the chairman of the Board of Regents, Ed Carter from Los Angeles, whom I know quite well, called me today to talk to me about it and said that they didn't know what they would do if he left, because they're going to have to fire the chancellor at the Berkeley campus, the one at which these 800 people were arrested. Of the 800 that were arrested, allegedly all students, 200 are not students, but are left-wing infiltrators. Furthermore, they're aided and abetted by left-wing members of the faculty who can be controlled only by Kerr. And since they're going to have to fire the chancellor because he can't control them, if they took Kerr out and they have no replacement, they'd be in a hell of a fix. So I said, well, that's no doubt all true, but that I felt Kerr could do far more on the national scene than he can there, and I knew of no one else to recommend to you as competent as Kerr for this other job. So he said that the university regents lean toward making Kerr available if they can solve their problem, and he wanted time to solve it. And I said, how long? And he said, well, they have a meeting of the executive committee on the 17th of December. And I said, well, this was for you to decide, but I thought that was too long, that in the meantime you were stopped from taking other action, and that I thought a week was a reasonable period. So he said they'd try to come back with an answer in a week.
Is that it?
Yes, sir, that's it.
Well, we better start on some more then.
I think so.
Now, where are your treasury people?
Well, I still think you should consider Al Hayes for that job.
Dillon says he's the hardest money man in the country, and but he'd be totally out of place, and he'd be very inconsistent in everything we did. And
well, I've kept Doug's judgment on that case. Others say he isn't a hard money man, but
he says he is. Don't think about him. So it gets down. I think we got four or five possibilities that we could consider.
Well, this is still a possibility.
Yeah, but did he have some problems with him on the Hill when you thought about making him undersecretary?
Yes. Who would? Well, I had problems when we had him confirmed as Secretary of the Navy because of a speech he made in Monterey, California in about 1960 or so. They thought he was a unilateral disarmament advocate at the time, which was not at all true. Then we had problems with Fulbright. I think just personality clash. And others on the Hill had formed adverse opinions of him over the years just because of his personal approach to them. He was abrasive and overbearing, I think. But there wasn't any widespread feeling against him.
I think we have a possibility of Fred Capel, and I think we have a possibility of David Rockefeller, and I think we have a possibility of Crawford Greenwall. I think we have a possibility of Peterson at
California.
Bank of America.
Well, Greenwald would be excellent, I think. I think he'd be better than Capel. I don't think for Treasury, I don't think Capel's had any real exposure to that aspect of our economy. Rockefeller, of course, would be excellent.
He's on the board of the Chase, Capel is.
Yes, I know he is, but he's not a money man or a treasury-minded man in any real sense of the word.
What do you know about the others?
Oh, well, Greenwald is,
yeah, that's what I'm asking.
Is just as bright as any man I've met in this country. He's a conservatively oriented person. I don't know what his philosophy would be in the Treasury. But I think you'd be a very able member of your administration, and I think that if he took the job, he'd have to take it, and with a clear understanding, he'd follow your policies. And if he would take it on that basis, he would be outstanding. He'd be my number one recommendation to you from that list you read. The second would certainly be David Rockefeller. And I would put both of them far ahead of Fred Capel for the Treasury job.
What are you doing in CIA then?
Well, this is a problem. I don't. Do you think Doug Dillon would be willing to come back for that a year from now?
They might.
And if he would, and if he would be willing to make it, in a sense, his life work, say a 6-year tour or something like that, which is what they need there, he would be ideal in my opinion. And in the meantime, you could do either one of two things. You could either keep McCone there for a year, and my guess is he'd jump at the chance to stay. Or alternatively, you could put in an acting head, one of the career men, and there are one or two that could do it for a year. But Dillon would be an excellent choice for director of CIA. I know that he's thinking about coming back into the government at some time in the future. And I don't know any other post he could come to that would be as good as that for him, except Secretary of State, and the chances of him getting that are not very great.
What about the CIA, David Bell?
Well, it'd be good, not as good as Dillon. Dillon's had far more experience than Bell has had in the whole field of international policy at high levels and high echelons.
What would we do with foreign aid if we put Bell in CIA? Is God good enough for him?
I think he probably is. Mac would have a view on it. He's worked with him. But in my conversations with him, I think he's excellent. And I think he would be strong enough to do the job. I think he could handle a hill as well as Dave does.
Well, you better think some more, Bob. I didn't know you'd strike out on so many here.
Well, I know.
Not much you missed.
But the most important one, Kerr, I think there's still a real good chance he'll come through.
Well, main thing is we'll have the policies formed, and we need him to help form them, but we don't really have a rush on him. This other fellow will go on and doesn't do bad with the Congress, and we could go on for 3-4 months with him if we had to. But the main thing is we will cut our cloth to, and I would like to have him in on cutting it.
Sure.
Well, thank you, and you got any, how are your shipyards problem?
Well, I met with Governor Rockefeller and all the others yesterday, and we had a 2.5-hour meeting that was acrimonious, controversial, but ended up in a love session, and the press and the radio and the TV came out all right, so I think it was okay. And the rest of it is going beautifully. I'm just amazed at how well we're getting along. We've got the Alabama group coming in. I guess it's tomorrow morning. Senator Hill asked if we'd sit down with them, which I said we would. And beyond that, there's nothing serious brewing. Margaret Chase Smith, of course, is accusing me of misrepresentation and so on, but this is just her typical approach, so I'm not too worried about that. We've got McIntyre and Muskie as satisfied as they could possibly be under the circumstances. And elsewhere in the country, there are no serious problems. The mail we're getting in here, which is coming in large numbers, is 95% favorable. 98% favorable, I guess.
That's good. Much blood.
Thank you.